Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 16. If nothing else, I'll just give you the headlines here. But I am going to take the time to read from all three of these passages. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 17 of Mark 10. There's a provocative thought that goes into this, or that could be attributed to this. And that would be that these three passages are speaking of three rich men, and the provocative thought would be that they're all the same person at different stages of their existence. Now, I'm not saying that that's exactly the way it is, because it's not likely that that's really the case, because in Luke 12 it very clearly tells us that it's a parable. So a parable is usually considered to be fictitious people, but with a principle. And so the principle that is given throughout these three passages would still be the same in the progression of a person's life. So I'm going to read these three passages before we go any further. Verse number 17 of Mark 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled down to him, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from a youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying. Went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Flipping over to Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" Going over a few pages to chapter 16 of Luke, verse number 19, beginning in this chapter. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember thou in thy lifetime, receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, no. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see the progression? The possible progression. Keeping in mind that the second one is a parable. Usually we would think of as fictitious people. But there is a progression that is going forward in these stories, in these passages. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 comes into the picture so attractive, so full of life, so full of energy, enthusiastic, he's open. And yet we find that in the end, he is making a fatal decision, a fatal choice concerning Christ. Then we find the second one. And here is one who is a very aggressive businessman. Maybe we could even call him a business tycoon. He's got some vast holdings. If we want to look into it far enough and read into it far enough, we would come to the conclusion that this business tycoon is of a selfish and narrow-minded interest. And then the last one we find, the man is dead, and he's damned, and he's tormented within his damnation. I don't know that we can read into it enough this morning, all that contains in that word tormented. Or as he says, I am tormented, and it says that he is tormented. We have to read more of what Scripture gives us. We have to understand more of what is taking place within that realm for us to understand. But we can understand at least this much, that the word is a negative word involving this man. The first one comes as a burdened man. He comes searching. He comes longing. He comes straight forward to Christ. He presents the case to Christ. There's an honest search going on. There's something within him that wants to do right. There's something within him that is telling him that Jesus has the answer for him if he would only go and seek after Christ and find what the answer would be from him to satisfy that void, to satisfy that longing, to understand that there's something more in life than the pursuit of business. So he confesses it all to Christ, that he's wanting, he's desirous, he needs something more. And Jesus, in his compassion, in his love, tells him what he needs to do. Jesus looked on him and loved him. It would tell us in that statement that Jesus wasn't going to pull any punches. He wasn't going to shade over. He wasn't going to try to make it look as glossy as he could in order to appease the rich young ruler. But he was going to be straightforward in his approach to this man, as he is with anyone. And so he simply said, sell all that you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. We find in the last part of that story that his search changed to sorrow because he had much possessions. Two words make up the entirety of that story. Two words give us the definition of all that takes place in the confines of this rich young ruler's heart, and that is too much. It cost him too much. The second story we find, it's the parable. The businessman has a problem. It's a good problem to have, I suppose, if you're looking at it from the business standpoint. It's a good problem to have. He has more than what he needs and more than what he can store, and so he decides that he's going to take care of the problem. His proposal is really twofold. He proposes it for himself. He proposes it to himself. You see, right there we find that this man is consumed with selfishness. He's not looking at somebody else or looking after somebody else. He has his problem and he proposes to do something about it. The first thing that he proposes is that he will enrich himself to the fullest degree that he can. He will tear down his barns and build greater so that he can have much laid up. And then as he sees how much he lays up, how much he has, how rich he is, then the second part of his proposal is he will then enrich himself with pleasure. You see, the problem here is that this fellow, this man, this rich man, he's a business tycoon, he says to himself, following God is too hard because of selfishness. He doesn't want to give it up. So we have too much, we have too hard. And the last one is the buried man, and we know what the two is for him. It's too late. His pains are real. His prayers are refused. His heart is in anguish. He cries out for some kind of relief. And he begs for someone to go and spare his brothers the same doom and the same consequence. But it was too late. The one that's in Luke chapter 12, we realize that his God was the God of business and the God of money, the God of pleasure. Rather than following the God of Lazarus. Not that we should get into our mind that in order for us to make it to heaven, we must be poor and full of sores. That's not the picture that needs to be taken from that story. Or from any of these three stories. But the solemn message is that we make sure that we are sold out to follow Jesus Christ. Isn't it somewhat of a provocative thought that this could be the same man in three different stages of his existence? How different it could have been. How different it could have been had the first rich young ruler came to Jesus in Luke or in Mark chapter 10, and we find the story changed when Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and he left all and followed Christ. Had that been the statement made? I look around at the fine families, people that's in this sanctuary this morning. That's not what it takes. That's not what's going to get us in. stories could be told from all across the country, all around the world, of people that come down to the end of their life and make those amends that need to be made. We don't have to wait till the end to make sure that our heart is right with God. I can tell you the name of a man that I'm thinking of that all of my known time around him, he was church member. He went to church faithfully every time the doors were open, even in the midst of his physical limitations. He was there faithfully, service after service. Just a few years ago, a couple of years ago, he went to the hospital because of some physical problems that had grown within his life, within his body. And he went to the hospital, and word went to the pastor that he was in the hospital. And the pastor went and talked to him and had prayer with him. And this dear brother looked up at him and said, "Pastor, I've been a church member all of my life, but I'm not ready to die." The pastor was taken aback by the thought that this member of his church, who had been a faithful member for many, many years, decades, wasn't prepared to die. And the man began to lay out what it was that kept him from being ready. Maybe I'm speaking to the dads here this morning, because it is Father's Day, and the stories that we've read, the stories that we've looked at, have contained the stories of men in their leadership roles and in their places of responsibility. And those places of responsibility and leadership roles are of vital importance to the families and to the church, to the people. It's important that we carry that responsibility very, very seriously, and we look at it very consciously, and we make sure that as we look at God's Word as a mirror reflecting our life, that we measure up to what God's Word has to say and not how we might justify or correct or change. Now, it's for all of us. It's important for all of us to be aware of. It's important for all of us to have it settled within our heart that we're going to go God's way no matter the cost, no matter how hard, before it's too late. But specifically today for our dads, all of us, as we look at the story of these three men, how are we different? And how will we be different? As we learned at youth camp this week, we have choices, we make choices, but we cannot choose the consequences. They are already established. May we choose right. May we choose to follow God. May we choose to be the man that He wants us to be. The leader in the home, the leader in the church, the leader in our communities. Dads, we have a big responsibility. Let's carry it. Don't worry about the cost being too much. Don't worry about the way being too hard before it's too late. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Trust you have a good Father's Day. God's blessings on all of our dads.